Our scripture reading this morning comes from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. And if you have not read Exodus recently, what is helpful to remember is, of course, it is the story of the people of Israel before they're even known as the people of Israel, before there is an Israel that they have claimed. Exodus, in so many ways, is about them getting from Egypt, where they are enslaved, to the promised land, or to the cusp of the promised land. And so it is a story that is as much about a long and meandering geographical journey, a time in the wilderness, as it is so often described. But it's also about their transformation morally and spiritually. They're becoming this people that will dwell in this new place. And so Exodus is very explicit about the challenges felt or experienced by them on the road to the promised land. And the challenges before them are very rarely external threats. It's much more the internal process of learning to be a people moving in a particular direction, to understand who this God is, who is leading them, and what it is this journey will require. And that is sort of at stake in this reading from Exodus this morning, which comes from Exodus 16. The Israelites all complained to Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They said, "If only we had died at the Lord's hand in Egypt, where we sat by the flesh pots but had plenty of bread. Instead, you have brought us out into this wilderness to let us all starve to death." And the Lord said to Moses, "I shall rain down bread from heaven for you. Each day, the people are to go out and gather a day's supply so that I can put them to the test and see whether they follow my instructions or not. But on the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it should be twice as much as they gather on other days." Moses told Aaron to say to the whole community of Israel, "Come into the presence of the Lord, for he has listened to your complaints." For while Aaron was addressing the whole Israelite community, they looked toward the wilderness, and there was the cloud of the glory of the Lord. And the Lord spoke to Moses, "I have heard the complaints of the Israelites. Say to them, between dusk and dark, you will have flesh to eat, and in the morning bread in plenty. You will know then that I, the Lord, am your God." That evening, a flock of quail flew and settled over the whole camp, and in the morning a fall of dew lay all around it. When the dew was gone, there over the surface of the wilderness, fine flakes appeared, fine as hoarfrost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is that?" Because they did not know what it was. And Moses said to them, "This is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat." Well, this morning's scripture tells the story of the manna in the wilderness, this miraculous provision of sustenance by God for the Hebrew people as they wander in the wilderness en route to the promised land. And it's an important story for both Jewish and for Christian faith. For Christians, it is a miracle, of course, but we also see it probably as the first occasion of daily bread appearing. And so when Jesus teaches us to ask for daily bread in the Lord's Prayer, it's very much manna that he is hearkening back to. It is this moment that we've just heard that he is hearkening back to. And if you get one of those big Bibles with all the cross references in it and you look up the Lord's Prayer, you'll see there's a small footnote after "Give us this day our daily bread." And that footnote tells you to go look up Exodus 16. So here we are. But as you've just heard, the story of manna in the wilderness is a strange story because it doesn't particularly seem like a story about a miracle. In some ways, it seems more like a story about complaining. That's what sets the scene from the very beginning. It says the whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And they're complaining because they're hungry. Not just a little hungry, they are starving. God decides to do something about it, which is good, but Moses is not entirely happy about the situation, and he instructs his spokesman, his brother Aaron, to make the point by saying, "Draw near the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." The Lord doesn't explain just how Aaron says this to the congregation. I suppose it's possible that he said it like I just did. Draw near the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. It's also possible, I suppose, that he said, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining. And there is this sense that at least for Moses, this moment is perhaps less about the goodness of God than it is about the frustration of dealing with all the pettiness and the squabbling of his people. And as a parent, I have to say, I can sympathize. Anyone who has sat in summer traffic with small children will surely agree that what Moses is attempting might be called a trip to the promised land, but it has to be a contender for the car trip from hell. You know, you can hear it. Are we there yet? I'm hungry. He bit me. He's looking out my window. Can't you hear it? It reminds me of the mom of one of my oldest and best friends. She would always gamely attempt to address complaining with her kids whenever they were traveling, whenever things took a little long, whenever there was some sort of bump in the road or hitch in their plans. She would say, "Guys, don't complain. We're making memories." Did someone just applaud? Oh, sorry. "We're making memories." That time that they got a flat tire on the BQE at 10 o'clock at night on a summer Sunday, we're making memories. The time that the airport closed for 2 days because of a blizzard and they were trapped in there almost fighting for the last Cinnabon, we're making memories. And yet, over time, that approach does have an effect. Much later, when the kids were grown up and they were their parents took them and the grandchildren for a big skiing vacation, my friend's sister broke her leg, and her brother took her to the ER. And as they got ready to wheel her off for surgery, he looked her in the eye and he smiled and he said, "Don't worry, Meg. We are making memories." And she was like, "I completely and totally hate you forever." But she laughed. And I want to suggest actually that this in its way has a lot to teach us about this morning's story from Exodus, because ancient Israel would remember this story, this account of receiving manna in the wilderness. They did not realize it at the time, but it's true. They were making memories. And it was these memories that would prove to be a source of tremendous strength and hope to them through even darker times to come. The story of this God who provides, the God who journeys with them one day at a time, the God who works to sustain them one day at a time, the memory that they were the people of this God, had the power to feed their souls, had the power to offer hope. It fed their souls in Babylon, which is probably the time when they took the trouble to write the story down, lest it be forgotten. It fed their souls in an occupied Jerusalem. It fed their souls in Rome. It fed their souls in the ghettos of Europe and the camps of World War II. and not just them. When American slaves called Harriet Tubman Moses, they were claiming their own right to this memory and to being part of the people of God, the family of God. When the pilgrims had sailed from the New World, they saw themselves as people of the Exodus. Because what had seemed at the time like a moment of danger and abandonment would be remembered as a time actually of miraculous provision and care day after day. These refugees from slavery in Egypt thought that they were wandering aimlessly through the wasteland and were destined only to starve. They could not see that, in fact, they were being formed into a new people, a people on its way to the promised land. And for those who came after, for those who remembered, that would become a powerful summons. And it would remind them of the power of the promises that we hear again today. So many years later, when Jesus of Nazareth would talk about daily bread, he was teaching us to grab onto those promises for ourselves. At so many different times in our lives, we can feel overwhelmed by the moment and the circumstances where we are. We can feel as if no matter what our best intention may have been, we've gotten lost, that we're wandering, that we're trapped in the wilderness. And we probably don't need to name what those experiences of the wilderness are like. But as the story tells it, the Hebrew people had been so focused on their own suffering that they had started, in fact, to misremember even the experience of servitude, of slavery in Egypt, to misremember it and to think of it as a time when, well, it was pretty bad, but at least we got to eat our fill of bread when everything, all of the bad stuff was just, well, I mean, that was there too, was just happening around us, but there was food. Which was not how it had been. But as we know, suffering can do that. We can lose our way, lose ourselves, start to tell stories in ways that keep us turning in circles. There is the constant temptation to do that. But what our faith teaches us, what Scripture affirms for us, is that's not the only option. Instead, we can seek to be formed among a people called to seek daily bread. A people who remember that God is working in the here and now and leading us towards something even greater than we have words to ask for. We can hold on to the promise that there is indeed more to us and more to all of this than may be obvious at any one particular moment. We're a little like the many generations who heard this story and took comfort from it because they heard it not as the story, not as a time of aimless wandering, but of what was actually a journey, a place toward a goal. Maybe we are on a journey too. That's the hope, to help us see the ways in which we are. Daily bread is a strange diet on which to subsist. But it is the movable feast of the journey, the daily memory of the God who was with us and will always be with us, every step of the way. And so for all the moments when it seems as if what we see is what we get, for all the moments when it seems as if what we see is all there is and all there ever was, for all those moments, God tells us, no, there is so much more. Day by day, in ways you may not see just now, the promised land is coming into view over the horizon, step by step. We're getting closer. We just have to keep moving. So what is the bread that you need to keep moving today? Which horizon is the one you need to point toward today? How is God's future for all of us slowly coming into view in your life today? It's a lot to ask. But remember, whatever happens each day, we're making memories. The only question is what kind. The memories that will guide and sustain us most are the ones of when we learned to believe in the journey and to believe in a God who teaches us to become his people day by day, mile by mile, morsel by morsel. Amen.